So I want to talk to you a little bit today about baptism and the idea of completion. So on the day of your baptism, you began a journey to become a Christ bearer, a Christian. It's a process of ebb and flow. It's a process of give and take. But the point is, by that baptism, you're not cleansed of all of your concupiscence, like of all of your weaknesses and your struggles. But you are given grace. You are given grace. What affects it is your family, your choices, your patterns of sin, etc. But on the day of your baptism, you are really a cleansed child of God. You've been adopted. Everybody get that? Like the church says so far is you're actually a new creation. So you were created in conception. You were birthed on a natural level. But on your baptism, like just you are completely reconfigured. You still keep the same shell, but the innards have been all configured to God. A like example might be that if I hold a glass in my hand that's empty and or full of, let's say, black water, and on the day of your baptism, it's poured out, cleansed, and water is poured into it. It's still the same glass, but what's on the inside is different. That new creation and how God looks at that new creation is completely different. Because there's this inner draw that God seeks with your spouse to draw you together. That is called communion. That reaches its ultimate act as the two of you journey to communion together at the liturgy. You can really say that you never go to communion now individually again, regardless of how many times you may go to daily mass. So Nancy may go to daily mass. Jerry is part of that communion. There's no longer a wall, a block in him. It's important that you realize that, because foundationally is then I have to dispose myself because my wife is going to daily mass. I can't go to daily mass because of my work or limitations. So therefore, I have to make sure that I'm not in that state of mortal sin that's just blocking it. The communion, the receptivity of the Eucharist, when my wife receives it, is her greatest encounter with love. Why is there resistance in spouses when my spouse begins to grow spiritually and my spouse begins to get drawn closer into deeper intimacy? You want to make sure, as you are being drawn into the friendship of Christ, as the Catechism says, that is ultimately the Christian life, to become a friend, to become one who is disciplined. We call those disciples. You have been disciplined. And so the communion is what you live on the day of your marriage. You exchanged hands, eyes, your lips, and your vows. And then ultimately, you exchanged your bodies. Wherever you were on the day of your marriage and where you are now, maybe two totally different places. Knowing some of you, you've come miles. But I want you to realize that that foundation, made strong or weak at that time, It doesn't have to remain that way, and certainly not to go back to that way of thinking about it. Because if you look back just on your wedding day, what you knew about your spouse that day was the least you knew about your spouse. That was the least. And as you've journeyed, hopefully, as you've learned more, you've seen their heroic effort to overcome themselves and to fight and to become whom God wants them to be. Don't live in the past about, I wish I were here on my wedding day. I wish I were like this young couple that's done a marriage weekend and the blah, blah, blah. I mean, it is what it is. It is what it is. But it's important because God gives you this grace through the Eucharist to sustain you. Here's why. The Eucharist is natural and supernatural. Your spouse is natural and supernatural. It's an echo of the two of you. The Eucharist is natural. It's bread and wine. In and of itself, there's nothing very significant and powerful about it. You can eat it, it'll pass through. The same with your spouse. There's something beautiful, something very ordinary, something very natural about it. They come into the world, they live, they die. However, with the grace of the Holy Spirit given in baptism, both are different. The bread is no longer just bread and wine, but with the grace of the Holy Spirit becomes what God intended it to be. Which is what? Blessed, broken, to be fed. And I'll get there. But through the grace of the Holy Spirit, that ordinary bread and that ordinary wine becomes something godly, divine. The same with your spouse. Your spouse, just an ordinary man, an ordinary woman, made of dust, on the day of their baptism, become something supernatural. That supernatural reality, like the Eucharist, is blessed, broken, and given. Notice the process in yesterday's gospel. Jesus blesses it, he breaks it, and he feeds. That's the process in marriage. There's a blessing. There's something that is broken, and I'll get there. And then it goes to feed. All of you must be blessed, broken, and given. The blessing part can come in a variety of ways. It can come through a conversion. It can come through hitting rock bottom. It can come through hitting your soft bottom or your hard bottom, as they say in the 12 steps. But I want you to realize that you must realize that there's blessings. The power of the blessing is conversion. The power of the blessing is to realize that something beautiful is taking place. That's the power of the blessing. The theme of this talk is going to be called, Are You Thankful? Or Thanksgiving. Berta said she's a thankful woman. But the blessing. But more than that, there has to be something that is broken. Brokenness comes through a lot of ways. It comes through the fever breaking in some struggle in your life. Yeah, I'm just really tired of being the angry spouse. I'm just tired of it. I'm tired of being the victim or the wounded one. I hate to say it, but unless you are broken, you cannot be given. Unless you're broken. It can come through your kids being a train wreck, and you're like, I don't know what to do. You know? Right environment, tons of love, and they're just off. Okay, fine, whatever. It is what it is, man. But there has to be sort of a brokenness. Now, some of that comes through family of origin. Some of that comes through stuff that we bring into the marriage, and then it never really surfaces until after a month or after my first baby comes. And all of a sudden, you're like, man, I am afraid. I don't know what I'm doing here. It can come, I've seen it with young couples, the nursing, and like, then if they have some trauma like a miscarriage, and then she doesn't want to be intimate again because she sees the trauma connected with the act of intimacy. And so there's a complete withdrawal. All of that makes sense. But every communion, in which that's exactly what your marriage is, has to be broken. I think the idea that it's not to be broken is completely erroneous. Because that breaking, everybody, religious, priest, I mean, most people go through this time like, what am I doing with this person? Or what am I doing with this marriage? Or what am I doing in this priesthood? Like, what's the point? That conscious awareness, but also the ability to fight through it, makes all the difference in the world. I think this is where people are stopping. So every vocation has a breaking. Not a breaking point, a breaking. But when that host is held, so to speak, that vocation, and Jesus starts to give it a little tweak, that's where people are like, I'm out of here. I can't take this, because they don't have the spiritual backbone. But your faith, man, when Jesus has it, he breaks it, and this is through sickness, or sometimes my wife has depression, or our miscarriage, or whatever, and it breaks, people are like, ugh, I am out of here. So I want you to really think, like, whoa, where did we come from? Because that breaking can be the game changer. But here's the difference. You are still in the hands of Christ. You are still in his hands. He hasn't, like, karate chopped you with an axe. He has you in his hands. Why? So that he can bless you, break you, and give you to others. Once there is that awareness of this, man, and you realize, okay, I am in the hands of the Master, you can hold on and fight through it. It might be a week, it might be a month, it might be longer. It might be through some situation where you're like, I can't hang out with my coworkers now. You know, that person's really attractive, or I'm kind of getting flirty with Sally, and I can't go there. It's not good for me right now. And if you make that decision, you'll be able to step back. It's like, what am I doing getting all flirty with Sally or Bill? Like, that's ridiculous. It's something that you're like, okay, I need to see this in perspective. So one of the things I want you to think about is, have you seen that breaking in your marriage? Some of you might be in the middle of it. Some of it can be just exhaustion, right? Little kids, right? Yeah, man, sometimes my wife and I, we're just exhausted. Makes sense. But as long as he can say to his wife, right, like, God's with us, and be like, come on, get out of that bat cave, man, like, and purposely be a missionary to go into the cave, right? You can't be like, well, I'm more exhausted. Overcome yourself. Don't be all whiny about it. Overcome yourself. Then something beautiful takes place, because then you become the hands of the one holding your spouse. You have to have free hands, folks, in order to hold this. You can't have, like, selfish hands. You have to have, like, totally free hands. I'll tell you a funny story. We went out to play golf the other day with a couple of priests, right? And we're not always, like, the best gentlemen on the golf course, okay? We're talking trash, like, run over their ball with the cart. They know I cheat. Anyway, I lost 12 balls on the first 9 holes, right? Anyway, playing on this hole, it's called Hampshire Greens, and they have this big netting so no one hits it. I hit it over the netting. Like, that's, like, impossible, right? They're like, hey, Leary, nice shot. I'm like, where'd it go? I was like, and all of a sudden I see it bouncing on the road. And I'm thinking, I'm saying all these bad cuss words, like, to the ball, like, get off the road because cars were coming, right? And finally it got off the road. And then the coolest thing happened. I don't know where these people came from. Maybe it was a mirage, but I asked another priest if he saw it. This guy came with a tractor, like one of those big John Deere, and he had his grandson on his lap driving down the road, and they were just loving each other because the grandson was driving the tractor. Like, it was really close. It was, like, from here to the wall, like, because I was looking for the ball. Anyway, and I thought to myself, like, what is the point of, like, all, and I don't get frustrated, but, like, if I stay in communion like that little boy with his grandfather, it doesn't matter how many times I hit the ball or have a terrible homily. If I can remain, if I can remember that picture, I will always stay at peace. Everybody get that? I said to a priest, I was like, that's awesome. He's like, yeah, maybe we just came out to play golf today just to see that image. I mean, it was really touching. It was like a Irish thing, you know. I was like, oh. We claimed it because we were both Irish. I said, yeah, that doesn't happen in Italy, right? The grandkids fighting with the grandfather, right? Or something. But my point was the whole sense of communion, right? If you don't stay in communion interiorly and with your spouse, you're going to get really bent out of shape about, like, bad shots. And if you hit enough bad shots, you're going to think you're a bad person. Okay? And then you will begin to live that way. And guess what? Then you're going to look for a new label. Because I'm a bad person, then I'm going to go to a place where I'm not a bad person. That new label might be someone at work, or a label at work, or some poor thinking. When you are broken, then you become dependent on God. You want to make sure that you always remain vulnerable before God. Don't mock God. God can do all things, but he can't do them if you resist. Medicines work, but if you drink alcohol, that will nullify the medicines, let's say. What is the purpose of the breaking so that you can be given to others? So your marriage, when it goes through those struggles or the graces, do you realize that that's probably when you're giving the most? In the marriage and outside of marriage. When you're giving the most. But you have to make sure you find like-minded marriages that understand. The like-minded marriages make all the difference in the world, because then you realize what it's about. Do you have friends that support your marriage? Do you have friends that believe in your marriage? Do you have friends so that when you are broken, because when you are broken, people will come to you to be fed. They're going to want what you have. If you are broken and you've relied on God, then your marriage is even more attractive. It's more foundational because it's built with the pillars of God and not just your human pillars. And so people will come to you. They will come and they will want God from you. They will want what is within you. That's when you can really give generously, because it's an endless supply of what comes out. The only tension in my vocation is, for me, is when I compare myself to other people and say, well, why am I going to the hospital at this time as opposed to just looking at it as a blessing? Right? I think it's the same in your vocation. Like, why do I have to do it? Well, you can do it in a negative way, or you can do it joyfully. I'm happy to do it. It's very, very important that we all do the things that God is asking of us with love. You can't unload the dishwasher like every plate weighs 500 pounds. By the way, that's very attractive. Right? I mean, seriously. And we can all get like that. But we want to make sure that we're bringing love. When you are blessed and you are broken and you give, you're given, you have to give in love. The miracle of the 5 loaves and 2 fish, when all those people followed the Lord and they said, let's have this from this little boy. Jesus didn't get up and say, well, why'd you forget your lunch? And why'd you forget your lunch? Didn't you know we were going on a 3-day journey? You're the worst. He just fed them. Do you know what I mean? He didn't hammer them. He just fed them. It's a time of compassion. But the joy of that is essential. Can you imagine me showing up at your hospital bed and maybe you have high blood pressure, health issues? I'm like, well, why didn't you take care of yourself? I'm not going to anoint you because you ate that candy. All of that leads to thanksgiving. The Eucharist means thanksgiving. Asking yourself this question, are you a thankful person? Not the kind of roll it off your lips 10 times, you don't even really know what you're saying. But like, do you come to prayer, as Berta said, and she's like, yeah, Lord, thanks. Thanks for the blessing. When somebody asks you for advice or something, do you say, they say, thank you, yeah, you're welcome, but thanks for trusting me. Thanks for coming to talk to me. Thanks for making my day that you would have the courage to share this with me. Totally changes everything. Years ago, I began saying, when I go to the hospital, people say, well, thank you, Father. I said, no, thank you for letting me come. because I could be a priest to you. And I came into this sacred moment. Hospital bed, they're in their gown, all that stuff, right? Not much to hide. And yet they're like, come on in. It really makes a difference in the effect of the grace if you are a person who is thankful. When we're not thankful, for some of you, I would say this, you have to confess it, okay? You have to say, yeah, you know, I did this, and a lack of thanksgiving. Does everybody get that? Because not to be grateful is to just to, it's connected to pride. And it's connected to a lack of love. If I love you and you love me and you do something beautiful for me and I don't say, well, thank you, sweetheart. Thank you. Thanks, Mom. It's connected to love. And then it leads to entitlement. I'm entitled to this. This is what I deserve. So it's really important that you say that you be grateful and thankful and that you express it. Like, I just don't assume that I understand that by your smile that you're thankful. Like, okay, that's a start, but that's not all. You have to be, like, thankful, and you have to say it or write a note or send an email. There's no exonerating you from this. I'll tell you, the percentage of notes I get from of women to men is like 1 billion to 1. 1 billion, like, notes from women. Thank you, thank you. And, you know, and then the guy, you know, is like written with a crayon, you know, thank. Or the woman's, like, the note and then signed, love, Bob, right? Like, she wrote the note. But anyway. Nothing against you ladies, but one of the notes I'll always keep is the note from the guy who slept on the floor. That will end up in my Bible. I think that we miscalculate the importance of a personal note. I really do. And I think some don't do it just because they don't see its importance. But all of you know in this room that if you get a note from somebody and it's very touching, or it's in a guy-woman way, it's a powerful teaching. All of those are expressions of thanksgiving. And I know it's hard sometimes to say thanks to folks. Do something for them. Give a food for the poor. Send a picture. Hey, Mom, we didn't know what to get you for this, but we went out and got a case of food for the poor, and we gave it. All of that stuff is thanksgiving. So I want you to pray about this. Are you a couple? Are you individually thankful? And how are you thankful? In the morning, as Bertha said, end of the day. Do you live your day joyfully in gratitude? Makes all the difference. Recently, a woman said she had that I've been working, it's just cancer. She's asked to give a talk somewhere. And she's done beautifully with the way she's handled her cancer. And I said, I think that now you have to live your life differently. If you have ever had a spiritual or emotional cancer and you've been healed, I'm trusting that you're living all the time in gratitude. I'm trusting that you're saying, hey, I'm in. I'm here to help, man. I'm trusting that the way you live your life is, I'm all in. What else is there? I mean, that's the way to live. And those people or marriages that have been broken and you realize you were in God's hand, the testimony that you give is so powerful. So in a way, what it allows us to do is to be grateful for having been broken. It gives us like, I'm so grateful, man. I'm grateful I went through the pain. I want somebody to really look at just today, just being grateful for the struggles that you've had. And maybe even praying together about it. Like, Lord, thank you for the addiction I had, if it's healed. Thank you for the struggles I've had in my life. If you've healed through abuse and pain, and it's really healed, then, you know, like, sweetheart, I'm really grateful that I've healed through that. I'm grateful. Because here's the thing, you can't change the past. So you're either going to lock it up in a closet, or you're going to let it out into the light, and you're going to look at that pain and you're like, I'm thankful for you because you did not bring me down. It changes everything. Here's the thing, when this happens within you as a couple, two things, God sends you people. God sends you people that need that love. And secondly, nothing overwhelms you in with your family, your children, or whatever. Nothing. Because you realize, like, fine, we're just going to have to buckle down and we're just going to have to pray and fight through this thing, man. And I don't care what it is. That daily ability to be grateful is so important. So I want you to go away, and I want you to talk out for about 40 minutes areas where you're grateful of struggle. So I'm grateful to the Lord for my struggle with patience because it just keeps me so humble. I'm grateful for my family. I'm grateful for this, but I need you to see it from a bigger perspective, something more powerful than simply just, you know, an act of separation. When you can go there, you will have the ability to be given to other people. Because it'll be Christ that is given. So your word for today is Thanksgiving. Okay? Just really do a gut check. Kind of hard to love somebody that's not thankful. Okay. Glory be to the Father, to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end.